choirs of angels.
Sing choirs of angels, sing in exultation. Sing all ye citizens of heaven above.
Glory,
glory to God, glory in the highest.
Oh, come let us.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Yea, Lord, we greet thee.
Yea, Lord, we greet thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given.
Word of the Father, sing.
Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing.
Oh, come let us.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
For he alone is worthy.
For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
Let's worship and adore him.
We worship and adore him. We worship and adore him. We worship and adore him.
You can be seated tonight.
This is the story of the birth of Jesus from Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available to them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lord of all creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I
am. Good evening. My name is Michael Clare. I'm the pastor of Living Hope Church, and I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to this Christmas Eve service. It is a blessing to have you here, and I'm sure it is a blessing for you to be here. This story of Mary, it's a powerful story. And sometimes in the Protestant faith, you get past Mary, and we go right to Jesus, which is all good practice. But there's something about this story that stirs the heart of men and it stirs the heart of angels. And I'd like to talk to you just a little bit about it. We talked about this past Sunday how it all came about, prophecy that was given to Isaiah. Isaiah gives a prophecy to the people. And just a few quick verses, just really quick to get us started here. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And then we go fast forward a chapter, and we go into chapter 9, and it says, "For unto us a child is born." We just heard this in the Luke reading. "Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And how did it come about for Mary? How did it come about for her? The Bible says that the angel Gabriel came down to her when she was a teenager and says that you will conceive and have a baby boy. And you'll call his name Jesus. And this will be done by the power of the Holy Spirit upon you. What a powerful, powerful message for a young girl, let alone anybody else to hear. But a young girl to hear that telling of the angel. What an amazing thing to actually see an angel and have a visitation from an angel. Yet Mary gets the visitation. Now she was engaged to be married, and they had strict rules in the faith that they couldn't be together until after a certain period of time. And she was in this place, and so she's separated from her husband, though she's engaged. And in their custom, she was actually legally married at this point. Lots of people come and they challenge the whole idea of whether this young girl was a virgin or not. But if you look at the language that it's written in, it's very clear that this is a virgin. I'm going to fast forward a little bit to the time that it comes for her to have a baby. And I feel so inadequate to talk about what it's like for a woman to have a baby. My wife was a registered nurse and she worked in the nursery. I'm intimidated to talk about having a baby if I'm a woman. My daughter-in-law is a registered nurse and she works in the nursery. I'm more intimidated about talking about having a baby. Let me go talk to Dr. Bantama, Dr. Falk. I'm fine. I can tell them everything I know about having babies. But I can't tell what it's like for a woman. I'll tell you what I can tell you is my experience as a man in this process. Now I'm not going to talk about Mary. I'm going to talk about my own situation with my own wife. We got married in the 1980s, early 80s, and Sally gets pregnant on the honeymoon. Don't tell anybody. 9 months later, we're in the hospital. Before getting into the hospital, they made you go through classes, Lamaze classes. Raise your hand if you've been to a Lamaze class. You know what a Lamaze class is. All right, I can't see anybody's hand anyway. In this class, they would teach the man how to be a coach for his wife and teach her how to blow and how to pant and how to push and all this other stuff that's totally foreign to us. And really, we're humoring our wives by being there. To be really honest with you, we know there's going to be a doctor in the room. But then they showed videos. And honest to goodness, I saw the videos and I see birth happening. And I get emotional. You know what I'm saying? I'm just seeing a movie, basically, of a woman giving birth. And I'm getting emotional. I'm starting to tear up and I'm trying to fight it back because we don't do that. And it was done, and I was just so happy. I toughed it out to some degree. Well, then, they have the second video for a different kind of birth that could happen. All the while, they're teaching you how to teach them how to blow and pant and push. Well, the day comes after all this great training, and my wife is in labor. And they have this thing. I don't know if they still have it, but there's this little, it's like a polygraph. And it has a feed, and what it does is it tells you about the contractions before the contraction actually hits the mother. And all of a sudden, this thing goes it's like a Geiger counter, man. It just, or whatever graph, and it's going like this. And I remember at one point, as we're getting further along in delivery, I said, oh, honey, you better do your breathing this time because this one coming is a dandy. Well, they didn't tell us about not saying stupid things because I thought a bedpan was going to come flying by. And sure enough, it was all that it projected to be. But then we get closer and closer to the actual moment. And I'm doing the breathing. I'm holding the hands. I think I lost the tennis ball. All this stuff to help her through this process. And honestly, it's getting old. To be honest with you, it's getting old. God, there's so many things I could be doing right now, but this screaming and this pushing and this fighting and all this stuff, it's getting kind of hard. But we're now to the point where you better call the doctor. She's so many centimeters. I think it's 9-10 centimeters dilated. Get the doctor in here. Now, this is like business. All of a sudden, I'm starting to rise up in intensity and seriousness. And doctor comes in, and now it's push. Okay, baby, you got to push. Push, push, oh, push, push. No, and I'm going through all this as a dad, and what comes upon me is the emotion that I had, only greater than what I saw in the movies, because now I see the head of what's going to be our son coming out. And she's fighting, and she's fighting, and I'm crying, and I'm saying, push, push, baby, just, you can do this. The baby finally comes out, and it's a baby boy. And it was glorious, and I'm sobbing. And the doctor allowed her to take the baby and bring the baby to her chest. And I learned something about that attachment and that closeness. And it was precious, and it was beautiful, and it touched my heart. Wow. Go back a little bit to Mary, and what was it like for her in the manger going through the same process? Joseph not knowing anything. And helping her through this. But the grace of God was all over it. Isn't that pretty cool? We talk about that, not that story, but we talk about that a lot in the church, about Mary and Joseph. There was a moment when Sally had the baby where there was clarity is what it was. There was a moment of clarity. And I saw the reality of what this baby was. I didn't see it before. I could think about it, but I couldn't see it and feel it. And when that baby came and I saw the baby with her, and then I was able to actually give the baby the first bath. Wow. I know when I left, somebody really cleaned it up right, but the beauty of the moment caused me to have clarity in my thinking. And my thinking was, this is my son. There is responsibility to this. This is a big deal. Look at how small he is. How are we going to take care of it? Like, and it's vivid in your mind. And I remember the washing him in his crib, and everything was actually still. When we hear about Mary, it says at the end that she pondered these things in her heart, and I believe she came to the place of that stillness. It's not what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the angels. What did they know and what didn't they know at this event? I'll tell you what they knew. Jesus has been missing up here for quite some time. We haven't seen him around heaven for 9 months. Now, allow me to take some liberties as I tell this story. But where's Jesus? And you know, Gabriel, he's here, he's gone, he's here, he's gone. Where's Gabriel? What's he up to? And I believe in my heart of hearts that angels know what they need to know when they know it. No. Angels know what they need to know when they're supposed to know it. He's a messenger. He gives messages, but he's been in and out, gone back and forth. When this baby is born, I believe that there was a moment of silence. Powerful moment of holiness in that stable. But not just in the stable. I believe there was a pregnant pause throughout all the cosmos over this baby. And in that instant pause, eternity existed. That's a deep thought. And what did the heavenly host process during that pause? The Bible says in 1 Peter that there's things we teach the angels. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says we teach them about salvation. They don't need a Savior. They're good. But they desire to know and to look into these things, it says in 1 Peter. And I get a picture. And I get this, that the angels are fighting for position. To see, to look, to desire to know what is going on at the greater level. They know something's up. Jesus hasn't been here. They know what the prophecies are. They've studied them. They know the book. Is this it? It's got to be it. Look at the star. Look at the light shining through the manger. Pointing the wise men. Look at all these pieces. They know. But how could it be? How could it be that this baby, this human being, wrapped in flesh and really in sin is what it's wrapped in. That's what we're wrapped in flesh. This little baby, lower, created lower than we are as angels. How could it be? What's happening? Everything is shifting from what happened, and the angels are getting excited, and they got to see, and they got to know, and they're fighting for position. There's a term. You're going to have to hear it next Christmas. I lost the term. The excitement that was generated by the angels stirred until the birth was happening, until the birth came to be, until she delivered the baby. And when she delivered the baby is when the pregnant pause happened and they saw it. And they immediately broke into praise. And what follows after that is the heavenly host coming down to earth. There's an announcement given to the shepherds. Praising God, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill to men. And the shepherds hear the voice of the angel, and they're compelled to go see this sight. And the angels are worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. And after they saw the sight, and they gave glory to God, because that's what the angels teach us, is how to worship God. And they head back into the heavenly realms, and they enter into the worship like, wow, we have awesome worship here, but wow, up there. And then you know the rest of the story. The wise men come, the shepherds come. The wise men come actually later. But all that takes place in that pregnant pause, that stillness that Mary experienced, that Joseph experienced, the Bible says that she took these things and treasured them in her heart. And my call for us today is, do we treasure these things in our heart? As a man who's been in deliveries with your wife, can you treasure the moments that you had there and then take it to this place where you treasure what took place on this night? Because it is holy. It is holy. It is powerful. And it is for us. For unto us a child is born, fully flesh, fully man. But unto us a son is given. The Father giving the Son to man. Can we take that moment, that stillness, and pause and think, what has truly happened here?
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul morn. Fall on your knees.
taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the sleep is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory. The more proclaim his power and glory. The more proclaim
fall on your knees.
It was that silent night when the stars turned their gaze to marvel at the earth. When the heavens gathered breathless round a lowly stable. When a young mother wept tears of worship, falling on the baby in her arms. And the song of the earth arose in Bethlehem. Soft as the tender beating of his heart. And all was calm. All was bright. Yet could this be the same God of Abraham, the conqueror of Israel? This baby, this fragile life. Is this child the one who burned his name in rapture across the gasping skies? Whose voice spoke the oceans into crashing rhythms? Who crafted the mountains into guardians of the firmament? Whose hand ignited the thirst of the deserts and the warring surge of the elemental hosts? Who breathed life from dust? Broke the oppressor's rule, scattered the chains of his people like sand, and led them through the wilderness with the pillar of flame? Is this child the one whose presence billowed thunderous on Sinai's peak? Who surrounded Job with the roaring wind,
stood defiant in the raging furnace, wrote judgment against tyrants, and blazed on the lips of the prophets, scorching history's pages with the fury of his might. Could this be the same God who chose to come as the vulnerable king, setting his throne on straw and manger, drawing forth the tears of shepherds, receiving the gifts of wandering travelers, his fame unknown in this world? He is Jesus, the one who thunders through the heavens, yet whispers to our hearts, who reigns victorious, yet bows to serve the broken. He is God in the fury, God in the silence. He holds this mystery balanced in his hands, holds our questions till they lose their need, until all we see is him.
Silent night, sing with me. Sing the first verse. Sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to be a part of this community in northeastern Wisconsin, to be a part of the Living Hope Church family. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we honor tonight and tomorrow and every day, God. It's the birth and the life that changed the world and changed our worlds. We thank you for the living hope that we find in you and in your son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would just pour out your peace over your people, Lord, as we seek to honor you, not just here in this building, but everywhere we go, God. We want to be used for your glory and your honor. Let your spirit flow not to us, but through us to a hurting world that needs the hope that only your son, Jesus Christ, can offer. I thank you for this church, for Pastor Mike, for our pastors, elders, deacons, leaders, each church member, each person that has gone before us to make a way for us, God, we just pause and say thank you for each of them. God, we love you and we worship you tonight. We dedicate not just this night and tomorrow to you, but every day of the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be dismissed tonight.
And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.